Blog Talk Radio.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs a people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger.
Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. I'm your host and executive producer, Shabaka Sankor. We're coming to you here this date, April 16th, 2020, from Mississippi County, Maryland. We have a special guest tonight, General Kareem Johnson. Greetings, General. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Greetings. Salute. How are you doing?
Oh, yes, sir. I guess I'll live for an old guy, man. Is that a good thing?
Very good thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And then we also too got General Melly Queen, you know, with us tonight, General. And what it is you're our special guest and our speaker, and the show is uncensored and open mic. But however, we do know how to keep it respectful. In addition to, folks, if you're listening to us, you can follow us on Twitter at ShabakaEXP. You could definitely check out our Facebook page of our like page, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and where you can find our past episodes and what have you. Okay, General, you have the floor, sir.
Black power, General, how you doing?
Black power, Queen. Well, first of all, I'd like to extend my most gracious thanks for you having me on. As always, it's a pleasure,
sir.
You know, to build and dialogue with like-minded, committed, and resolute people. You know, I just finished a group a couple of minutes ago of some fathers who, you know, were struggling and happened to catch a few domestic violence and ACS, which is the Administration for Children's Services cases. You know, so I just graduated that group, and I'm feeling really good. You know, I'm feeling vibrant, and I'm ready to engage in this dialogue.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay, General, give us a little bit of background on yourself, man, for our listeners here. You know, we definitely appreciate you coming on. And in addition to, definitely check with us in the future. And we deal with the Black experience from the beginning of time to 10 minutes ago, which is our motto.
Okay, that's a great motto. Well, as for me, I'm from various different studies and backgrounds, as many will know. I'm a child of the Nation of 5%, the Nation of Gods and Earths. My father was my first enlightener, and I followed him through his many different transitions in Islam from the Nation of Gods and Earths after the assassination of Clarence, Father Allah, Clarence, also known as Clarence 13X. My father then, you know, did the reverse. Instead of leaving the nation and going to the Nation of Gods and Earths like many did, he went from Nation of Gods and Earths to the Nation of Islam and earned his X in the early 1970s. After that, he made another transition into Sunni Islam, more Orthodox Islam. So I definitely was raised in that fold. And from my mother, background, who was a Garveyite, Black nationalist as well, I was up under that study as well. Adult years, I'm a U.S. Army combat medic veteran. A person of many different travels in my community of East New York, Brooklyn, New York City, street rave as well. You know, definitely a FIP, a formerly incarcerated person. I did two stints, 2 years and 9 years respectively. And ever since then, I've been doing community work on various levels. I'm also a product of the ceasefire out of Chicago, which is now the cure violence model. And that for 6 or 7 years on the street, preventing gunfire in the community. And now, like I said, I'm dealing with fathers who have mental health issues. I deal with anger management, domestic violence, and parenting skills.
Okay, very good. Very, very valuable qualifications, General. And as far as myself, I was born on the south side of Chicago, and I grew up in a cesspool called South Central Los Angeles, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. Definitely there in 1992 when they had the Great Rebellion right there, and there were some of the brethren who was trying to organize a ceasefire, you know, between the blue faction and the red faction as well, too. It's because we are all we got, particularly, you know, in this man-made pandemic and whatnot. We've been addressing that issue there of what we need to do for ourselves, and these other groups, they can go out and cape for themselves, as you currently are aware of the situation, what's happening to a lot of African brethren over there in China, where they're being put out of their places of residences and they're putting literally out there in the street. And I just got information in the last couple of days is that Uganda is returning some of the favors. And then also, too, I believe on the continent, you know, where they had, some of the brethren had burned down, you know, the Chinese factories over there, is because, you know, the Chinese are going over there extrapolating all the raw materials, the cobalt, the silicon, and what have you. Then they go to Hong Kong and China and prefab it. And then what they do, they load up those cargo containers, and then they ship them right straight over there to San Francisco Bay. And as you know, Silicon Valley and the whole Bay Area of California is the headquarters of Silicon Valley. So this is where all your laptops come from. This is where these fascist organizations such as Facebook, Twitter, Google, Yahoo, of where they're all based at. And then, of course, you do know that they got that alphabetized agenda, which is, in my opinion, is a great detriment to the Black community. is because I don't support it. I do not believe that no man is going to go out there and identify himself as a woman for the simple fact that he cannot menstruate, he cannot ovulate, and he cannot bear children. And I think it's very, very detrimental for the California State Public Schools to mandate that our children go participate in these classes of where they have these individuals, you know, with these alternative agendas and lifestyles teaching us here to our children, particularly our black boys. Is because, as you know, General, is that Hollywood, you know, wants to see all of our women with white men. Then they want to see all of our black men either incarcerated, dead, or feminized. You see what I mean?
So yeah, well, definitely. It's not, it's not only a detriment. It's not only a detriment, but it is a demonic practice. This is why they're entering the schools. There is no larger access to children other than the California state school system. So in order for Hollywood to maintain their prestige and keep their agenda flowing, they had to incorporate that into the schools, utilizing the resources that they get from the education department. You understand? So, you know, they couldn't do it to the youth facilities. They couldn't do it to the male adult penal institutions because they have always been radicalized. So the only way they could get an influx of not only our people, but also the new immigrants, was to make sure that these things are mandated in the school system. So it's not just a detriment. This is now demonic practice. They have to have little safe zones where people cannot easily look inside the walls and see what is going on.
Absolutely.
You know, so this is not only going on in California, but, you know, California and New York, these are the two states that take legal precedence over the rest of the country. So once these two states accept something, then it's just going to be a domino effect throughout the rest of the country. You know, but this is why we are in this present crisis that we are in right now. You know, as you mentioned, what was going on the continent, anytime you have a shift, anytime you have an energy that is coming through within the woke community, within the aware community, where we're not only dialoguing, where we're not only speaking about this, where we're not only putting theory into practice, we are getting numbers up. So anytime we get those numbers up, nobody on this globe wants to see that. So, of course, the Chinese are going to be more proactive in their abusive techniques and their thievery on the continent. You know what I'm saying? It's only a natural response, right? This is going to go on everywhere. See, that is the deal. The deal is we are all friends when it comes to keeping the black and brown people down. They are all friends. Right. They are all complicit in that. You see,
they
so that's
right
always going to be it. They're always going to group up against us, and whoever has the lead individually, of course, they're going to benefit. So right now, you know, that yellow man, you know, who really has no respect for us, right? They showed that when Huey made his way all the way over there, and Mao wouldn't sit with him. You understand what I'm saying? That goes back decades. You know, that goes back. They never had any true respect for us. You understand? But they will, of course, take those dollars. They will, of course, you know what I'm saying, push their little trinkets and their little cheap material in our community, right? Whether it's the weave or the eyelashes or the funny shoes, you know, or some little toy, they'll put that into our community with ease, right? They're welcome to take that, right? But when I go out to their communities, they don't invite me into their stores. You know, I did a live where I was sitting right in Little Korea, and you know, I did that live for a half hour. Nobody asked me to come into their establishment. Nobody spoke to me at all. You understand? So, why come to our community? I'm right there in your community. You ain't asking for my dollars then, but when you come to my community, you open up shop and you invite me inside. Now I'm in your community. You don't want the same dollars. What's the problem? You understand? So nobody, and this is what our people have to realize, nobody is a friend to us. Nobody is going to be liberal with us or deal with us with any type of equity. You understand? Not on a mass scale, because their DNA just will not have that.
Yes, sir.
And the thing is, we are the ones that separate us. They don't separate us. We all the same.
All they had to do was
set it
was to start it. You understand? That's all they had to do, is set it off. Once they started, then, of course, our ignorant and our weaker or our evil and selfish brothers are going to maintain those separate flags. They're going to maintain that separation through position.
Mm-hmm.
See, we the weak.
Exactly.
You know, we just going to follow the lead. That's what they allowed us to do, follow the lead. I'm showing you that you shouldn't like him because he's from over there. I'm going to show you you shouldn't like him because he eats that different than you eat it. And that just going to continue to perpetuate itself until the vanguard starts showing up and the vanguard starts dropping people to their knees. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Prestige cannot,
absolutely.
And I repeat, prestige cannot remain in a good position when it can't prevent any attack against itself. You understand? As long as they keep getting attacked, right? Soon that position and that prestige is going to fail. Once the bully keep getting beat up, ain't nobody going to be scared of them no more. And our people have to learn to recognize that. You see what I'm saying? Not with talking, right? Not with marching, right? You have to get up there. You have to show that this individual is going to crumble or those groups are going to crumble as long as we keep the pressure on.
Yes, sir. Without a doubt. And then also, too, I want to emphasize, too, General, on our black spending power, too, is because I was in Los Angeles in 1992 when they had the rebellion. And the funny part about it is that, as you know, the Los Angeles Police Department, which I think is a notorious terrorist organization, when they beat Rodney King, which was Sergeant Coon, Officer Timothy Wynn, Officer Lawrence Powell and Officer Ted Persino. They hit Rodney King with 52 blows of a baton. Now, the hypocritical dog they had as their police chief at the time, Daryl Francis Gates, who was an avid racist. I read his autobiography called Chief, and he tried to rationalize his hatred and his racism. Okay. And then also, too, is that they took the trial out of Los Angeles County and they took it, gave it a change of venue up there to Ventura County. Now, what you have in Ventura County are retired police chiefs, retired district attorneys, retired police captains, lieutenants, you know what I'm saying? It's because it's a pretty affluent county. So, therefore, you know, the higher echelon of the law enforcement agencies, you know, are there. So, quite naturally, of course, that would be the jury pool. And, of course, they came out there, said that these individuals were not guilty, and keep in mind that the most that they would have got would have been 2 years, is because they were not charged with attempted murder. They were not charged with hate crimes or special circumstance. The only thing they was charged with was a violation of someone's rights under the color of authority. So then when the verdict was announced, the jurors got on the public airwaves there over the television, over the radio, and they had stated that Rodney King got what he deserved. It's because I believe at the time that Mr. King was on parole. But, however, that led to the worst riot in United States urban history is what it did, because I honestly believe that they thought when Uncle Tom Bradley was the mayor that it was just going to be a repeat of the Watts riot, which was mainly concentrated in South Central Los Angeles or the Watts area. But this had went citywide. And I mean, it went all the way from downtown to the water, which is a span of about 20 miles. And the city of Los Angeles on April 30th, 1992 looked like Beirut. So what had happened was then-President George H.W. Bush believed that there was a Donald Bush did announce, came over public television, stated that what is happening in Los Angeles is going to stop, and that the California National Guard had been deployed, but he in turn also had sent in the regular army. But he did state that the U.S. Department of Justice was to take these guys into custody, Coon, Powell, Brasino, and Wynn, and charge them, you know, with federal civil rights violations. So they got convicted. But they just camped Snoopy, you know what I mean? They didn't walk the concrete like you did. They did not, like, walk the concrete like the majority of our people would do when they go into prison. And as Dr. Huey P. said, that the political prisoners are generally thrown up under the jail. You see what I mean?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Yes, sir. And then the very, very sad part of the two, General, is that they had Rodney King himself get up there on the news and make the classic statement, can't we just get along? You see, that made my blood boil. You see, and then reading over material here by Dr. Bobby E. Wright called the psychopathic racial personality. So when you look at white America and its hatred and its treatment of us on the plantation system, the Jim Crow era, the Black Post, segregation, a psychopath knows the difference between right and wrong, but he just doesn't give a damn about it. So what they would do, they would have handpicked Negro leaders who would come out here and say, hey, can we just all get along? Oh, I don't see color. Oh, we're all the same. And in my time of doing and hosting this podcast here, I've been invited on conservative podcasts and what have you, which I will no longer be doing. It's because basically it just turned off into a shouting match and a bunch of racial hatred and stuff like that. And it was all negative. And then there was an individual that I disassociated myself from who was inviting me on these platforms. You know, I was questioning his motives in regard to this as well, too, is because, a lot of our scholars, had stated that when you go on such a path that you got to realize you're a doomed man. Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Yes, I'm still going right here. Okay, so we're going to ask, our host to call back in, our guest host. Okay.
You hear me?
We're having some technical difficulties right here. Me personally, man, I think they're manipulating these algorithms, man. Because they're not
Anytime we are building, of course the tricks is gonna come out. You know?
Oh yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Without a doubt.
You know, if we talking about strip clubs and Cardi B and who mama hit who,
it'll be
a nice clear platform, you know. But once you talk about building the nation, you get all type of static and interference, and you know what we doing. You know how they doing.
Yes, sir.
So we have to just keep on keeping on, you know.
But definitely to
add on to that, you know, if you want to know exactly what's going on in the communities over here, during the riot, I had the first chair seat. You know, that was when I did my first little stint. So we was watching as everything was going on. And we knew that they was going to destroy L.A. We knew that that was happening. And that was going to go down. And, of course, all they did was bring it back and rebuild it. But as now, as we see with this global pandemic, what I can tell you right now, Brooklyn, which is very funny, all of the Asian shops have closed their doors. You understand?
Okay.
You won't find none of them open. The only ones you will find open are the produce markets. And even...
Right.
A good majority of them have closed, so they don't even want this money right now. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And our people are not
hip
to it. I'm showing them this is what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they were the face of the virus,
right.
They tried to soldier on and keep their stores open and prove that they weren't. They still wanted that money. But now
the
face has changed, and they are saturated in our hood, in our communities. They have taken a back seat. They're not coming out as much, right? Now that they claim that Wuhan is back and running, they want to sit and wait it out and see how well the rest of the city, the rest of the state is doing before they open up their doors. Now, I mean, even liquor stores that are Asian-owned and ran are not open. So when I'm telling you they're missing a lot of dollars, they're missing a lot of dollars. So our people need to take heed to this and see that they don't want your dollars, they don't need your dollars, and you don't need to give it to them. You understand? This is
right.
Time for anybody, if you so choose, to go into that line of business. Now, you need to run your liquor stores. You need to go and run your beauty and beauty supply stores and all of these other little stores that they have in the neighborhood. The only ones who are still opening are the, of course, the Latinos who still own a few bodegas and they have been scarce. And, of course, the Arab community, they don't run. They stay there. But I can assure you that New York City, if you look at it, and if the people across the country look at it, you will see that right now is the opportunity for us to, at least in that part, take control of some of the dollars that are circulating in our communities right now.
Exactly.
You understand?
Absolutely.
While they are running, while they are not forcing them to pay rent and mortgages, our people need now, and especially the Vanguard, especially those who are woke, you need to create an institution so your people know that they can deal with you and not deal with these outsiders. That is where we are lacking. This is where the leadership has faltered for so many years. And this is the main thing that the Panthers were successful at, creating institutions so that people can go to them and not have to deal with the enemy. And that is why every Panther organization, every Panther chapter grew, because they were the institution.
Right.
They were the doctors. They were the farmers. They were the security.
Yes, sir.
They were these institutions. And now we don't have that. So now you have all these people on social media who are personalities who are just begging for money because you can
say
it, because you can articulate it, because you can tell certain amount of who may not know anything a little something. You see, but you're not an institution. You don't have anything tangible to give the people. So when it's time for the people to make that choice, should I go over here with these individuals who's telling me that I need to be woke, or should I just stay with daddy? Because daddy is giving me a pension. Daddy is giving me a place to sleep. Daddy is taking care of my children. You understand?
Yes,
these
sir.
Institutions are still there. And
we
are able to build ourselves as institutions, we are going to continue to run around in a circle.
Because
we have to model the Panthers. That's what we have to do. We have to really model the Panthers and not just quote it. We have to really model Malcolm X and not just quote it. We really have to model George Jackson and Jonathan Jackson and not just quote it.
Exactly.
You understand?
And absolutely. And then, of course, as we all know, that Jonathan Jackson and George Jackson were from Pasadena, California. And then, of course, we do know it. Yes, ma'am.
Your voice missed.
Yes, ma'am.
It's just an echo. It's a delay. It's an echo.
Okay, okay. What about now?
It's just echoing. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. All right. And as we know, is that Jonathan Jackson, George Jackson, was from Pasadena, California, and also Pasadena, California is where the first black baseball player in the Major League Baseball, Jackie Robinson, was born. And I remember upon his passing in 1972, where he had made the statement, is that he said it as he knew in 1919, as he knew in 1972, and as he knew in 1947, why he does not stand for the flag is because he knew he never had it made. And that there was before Mr. Robinson's passing, and I remember reading that there in the Jet magazine. And then not to mention the fact is that a lot of our institutions and publication have been torn down as well, too, is because in Chicago, Illinois, we do know that's where Johnson Publications was headquartered at, where they did publish the Jet, they did publish Ebony Magazine, and, of course, Ebony Magazine and Jet Magazine, that there was pretty much an archive of our history, you know, in the 20th century, you know, during the Civil Rights Movement, doing the Black Empowerment Movement as well, too. But then Hollywood, you know, had, came about, you know, that took that over. You see what I mean? And then a lot of our black business people figured that, well, let me go out here and sell out there to Hollywood. You know, I'm just about making some money. But still, the quality of the life of our youth are still being deteriorated. You know, they're still being, you know, misguided, you know, and what have you. You see? And then, not to mention the fact, this is still being perpetuated now on social media. It's because, you know, you get up here, look at these crackers and KSB, come up here with these NGR terms, jigaboo terms, and things like that, but they don't get reported and they don't get regulated. But as soon as we get up there and say something, yes, sir, and as soon as we get up there and say something, they want to perpetuate this lie to you. You know, that you are violating community standards and all this old type of business and whatnot. And because I get suspended on it on a regular, General Kareem, you know what I'm saying? And the only thing that tells me is that we're getting somewhere. You see what I mean? That's all that tells me. Yeah,
exactly. Well, a lot of people need to recognize that when we're dealing with this beast, when we're dealing with our enemies and their propaganda and their utilization of the media, when you want truth and you want to know our status here in this country, all you have to do is read their law books. See, their law books are filled with horror stories about us, right? And that's their document. That's documentation of how they see us and how they think that we should be treated, right? Their law books, all the way from Dred Scott to the present right now. Read their appeals,
their
case law, right? From different states, different state statutes, federal statutes,
right?
Go to read these cases and you will see exactly how they treat us, not only from a criminal element, but read their civil case law on how they think that they should deal with us in contracts, how they think that they should deal with us in health care, how they should deal with us at any level of the society is in their law book. So this is not a debate.
Yeah.
This is not a discussion where we're going to have a wrong or right. No. The actual truth is in those law books, because that law is what they use to push themselves. That law is what they use for argument's sake. You understand? So when they are telling you you're three-fifths of a man, look in their law books. It's right there. When they telling you that they had the right to murder George Jackson, when they had the right to have Malcolm X assassinated, when they had the right to kill Brother Khalid Muhammad, when they say they have the right to choke out Eric Garner, it's in their law books.
Yes.
So we don't have time to be sitting there talking to some coonified political pundit on MSNBC or on ABC or on Fox or any of that. These dudes are and women are nothing but clowns. They're not intelligent.
Yes,
they're ignorant and stupid.
Yes, sir.
And I'm talking about the Van Joneses, the Joy Reid, the Roland Martin. These people are stupid.
Right.
Yeah, so
totally,
we don't have time to argue and debate with them, because some of them, one of them slick old face and gave you a bag and told you you were better than. This right here, this corona
COVID-19 pandemic is showing you exactly where they're at. And they are powerless without that income coming in. They are powerless without that influence coming in. See, the people are awakened now by the dire straits that this pandemic has caused. So we are not listening to you when you come across that TV screen. We're not listening to you on your Twitter feed because we already know that you're stupid.
Yeah,
and you've been an enemy to our people. That's it, and a sellout.
Absolutely.
So when you sit there and you tell us to stand behind this cracker because they running for office, the people looking at you like you crazy because the conditions show and prove that that cracker is okay. When you see him on TV in his home, he has a nice cup of tea. His home is clean.
Yeah.
He's not out here in the street with a mask. He's not hungry.
Right.
He's not waiting for a stimulus check. But you, black person, are telling us to get out here and vote. Where are you? Where's your house? Where are you located at?
Exactly.
You're not here with us.
Exactly.
So you got to look at these people and see exactly where they're at. Where they coming from and what's coming out of their mouths. You see what I'm saying? Because their law books tell me different. Their policies tell me different. The way they speak, they don't speak to me to make me feel secure. So I'm telling you that the treatment is different. You understand?
Yeah,
so we don't have time for that. That's not happening. But if you continue to insult our intelligence, if you continue to lie in our face, then we're going to have to close your mouth.
Yeah. And then also, too, General Kareem, I got it here in my hand right here, man. You're writing here the All-American Justice System Handbook, handcuffs, showers, shower shoes, and visits. And also, too, sir, could you give us some insight on that, please?
Well, that book was something that I've thought very, very carefully about right before I was becoming a free man. Out of the little jail and out into the jail of society. I wanted people to know every step of the way that process through the justice system and how to survive it. Right, so I wrote it with the hopes that if you were not in there or you were on a path and you happened to catch the book, that it would deter you from wanting to become somebody behind bars. Or if you had a family member who you were supporting behind bars, how you can help them without assisting and enabling them in that criminal act. See, our people have to learn from this point that we are not criminals, right? And no revolutionary act is criminal. You understand? Being a revolutionary is not criminal. It's not evading the law. It is not getting around the law or outflicking the law. Revolutionary is confronting the law. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
so we are not criminals. But if you continue to act as a criminal and end up behind bars, then you're only sealing your fate. So I wrote the book to make sure that our people are educated and know every step of the way from before you get arrested, right, to getting arrested, to dealing with the initial processes of the court system, to dealing with the county jail, to dealing with the state penitentiaries or correctional facilities, to dealing with everything that you need to deal with in it, how to work out, how to eat, how to pick partners, how to prepare for the parole board. You see what I'm saying? What kind of frame of mind you should be in if you don't make the parole board? What frame of mind you should be in if you are about to be released? You see what I'm saying? So I did it all the way through, visits, everything, because I wanted our people to know that this is the garbage that you will have to deal with if you continue to have a criminal mindset. So the book is for everybody.
Right.
It's not only for us. It's for people who may be working in there and don't know what they're really doing. You know what I'm saying? Our people are forced to get jobs. Our women are forced to feed their kids. So if they figure they could get that job, hey, it's no big deal. But they don't know what it's about until they're in there. You understand? So I wanted everybody to know exactly what that has done for them. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Again, we are not criminals. You know, we have our men believing that criminality is a rite of passage. It is a journey to manhood. But that is false.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Sir.
And we have to prevent as many people as we can to go in that direction, because now we're seeing the results. Now in this pandemic, we have our brothers in jail dying at an alarming rate because they're getting this virus. And the people are doing the same thing that they did to them when the brothers in Louisiana was incarcerated during Katrina. They left them. They locked the doors and left.
Yeah.
So some of the brothers was up in those cells up to their noses in water. You see what I'm saying? About to drown. They left them in there to die. So this is the same thing that they're going through right now. You have brothers in there that are getting sick. And the administration is closing the doors and leaving them in there to riot and die on their own. Right? But my thing is, brother, it's 2020. Why do you still think that you need to be a criminal? Why put yourself in that situation? We are not that.
Let me ask you this.
We are soldiers. So once you get captured, that's it.
Let me ask you this, General Correa. Now, what if you feel like, now I'm one of the ones I feel like, fuck their laws, all that, because they make them and break them as they want, right? So they'll tell me, well, General, you got to buy by the law. You got to buy by the law. Because I feel like, if you're in a militia and all that different stuff, why are you registering your guns to enemy?
Well,
it's just me.
Well, listen, when we say we are not criminals, we are revolutionary, and our job is to confront the law because it is unjust, right? Now, you can, like I say, live outside of the law. You can, I know brothers, I mean, I know elders that have not had a legal job on the books, have homes, have weapons. They live outside of the law, but they're not throwing it in the law face. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to show your hand. We know who we are. We know what we feel. But organizing the people to be revolutionary, to be confrontational on their way towards liberation is not necessarily opening everybody's eyes to who we are and what we do. So you don't have to acknowledge the law. People break the law every day. People drive without a license every day. People get a gun every day. We're not telling you that you should abide by every law. It's because you got a gun. You need to register it. No, that is not what we're saying. But we're saying just because you have an illegal gun, don't go out there and challenge these crackers when you're not prepared for it. You understand? You understand?
And then if I might add, too. And then if I might add, too, is from what I understand, when I read the so-called Second Amendment, it was supposed to have, right was supposed to be inalienable without infringement. So that means is that you're not even supposed to go register it. That means, you know, you're supposed to be entitled to it even when you get out of prison. You know, your rights are supposed to return back there to you. See, so it's just a hypocritical prepackaged bullshit that our sister queen, Asada Shakur, had stated in a lot of her lectures, and also, too, as Dr. Huey P. Newton had stated as well, too, is because any law that is supposed to be so ambiguous that is not understandable to the common man is not a statute. Supposedly. You see? And then also, too, what I want to do is that I want to read a page here out of a book called The Psychopathic Racial Personality, you know, by Dr. Bobby E. Wright. Okay? And just bear with me here, people. Clearly, I'm not suggesting that whites are omnipotent. On the contrary, history tells us that they will be had. However, it will not be done by blacks engaging in mythology, denial, or escapism, but only by our actively and consciously participating in the destruction of racism, which means the destruction of white civilization. We must accept the indisputable fact that racism and Western civilization are synonymous events, and as the song says, you can't have one without the other. We must be about the business of liberating the minds of black children. In order for that to occur, the minds of all blacks who interact with them must also be liberated. There is no other way. It is only relatively easy to educate black children even about their Africanity, but it is extremely difficult to reinforce the education. Therefore, even sitting in the same classroom, white children will be educated and black children will simply be trained. The white child would be taught how to rule, and the black child trained to be ruled. Training is defined as teaching a group what to think rather than how to think, making them dependent upon rather than assisting in developing skills which could be used for independent activity, rewarding behavior that operates against a group's interests, promoting individual rather than group achievement, and instilling negative self-concepts and low self-esteem. The opposite of the above menticidal process training is education, in which the learning process becomes a liberating force. Black independent schools are important not only for how they teach, but for what is taught. Their purpose of instilling within black children an African worldview is the most important activity those children will ever experience. Black parents whose children are not in independent schools should at a minimum expose them to a well-structured supplemental black educational program. Some of the most dangerous blacks in the world are many of those brothers and sisters who finish graduate school with honors and yet operate against the interests of blacks because of their Eurocentric orientation. The writer does not mean to imply that blacks should not attempt to achieve high levels of training in white institutions, but should be aware that it is not education they are receiving. Furthermore, there is no attempt here to glamorize the street mentality that is so prevalent in the black community today and which is creating widespread destruction. One of the most prevailing menticidal myths is in the black community is that street sense is positive. Now, come on, we're all from the streets, man.
That's
you
what
know?
I'm talking about. That's what we're talking
yes,
about.
Sir. Yes, sir.
That's
and what is really
about.
Being inferred is that whites do not control the streets in the black community, nor the behavior of blacks on those streets. This is untrue. Whites have more control, or at least as much control, over brothers and sisters in the streets than over those in universities. Street sense generally prepares blacks to deal with one another in very destructive ways, and then the whites wipe out the winner. The population of prisons, drug programs, and funeral homes verify this reality. Yet black children in increasingly large numbers are having to choose between two white institutions, the public schools and the public streets. Both will lead to destruction. The solution to our problem is the development of a black social theory, which will lead to the salvation of our children's minds. We must accept the fact that all activities are political, and whether they operate for or against our interests will be determined by our developing the ability to realistically assess and control the dynamic relationship between us and our enemies. A black social theory will lead us out of the whiteness of Eurocentric madness and into the blackness of African salvation. And that there was written by Dr. Bobby E. Wright.
Speak on.
The name of this book
Speak
right
on.
Here. Yes, sir. And this is the psychopathic racial personality. And then look at the psychopathic behavior of these individuals who sit up there, castrate our men folks on a plantation, rape our women on the plantation system, then go out here and have these quote-unquote picker niggas, excuse the expression, short-term is picnic, where whites will go out there, let black people just for recreation, sit up there, smile, grin, man, my brethren, cut off his private parts, put it off in his mouth, and set him on fire. And they did this here in grand fashion. They'll take photographs of it. They'll sit up there and smile and grin at that. And then when we have the mindset that we have, and when we have the intellect that we have, well, you're a black gracious guy. And the only thing I tell them, sir, is to kiss my ass. Excuse my expression.
Indeed.
Yes, sir.
And there's no dispute,
you know what I'm saying?
Any of that. Because we've seen the pictures. We've seen the videos. All right?
Yes, sir.
This is documented. We've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
They showed us on Eyes on the Prize. They showed us with Skip Gates. They show you. This is not old. This is current.
Right.
When you try
to deny
these little brown children entrance into a school, you deny them so much that National Guard had to escort them in the building. This is not old. This is new. This is current.
Sir.
These people are still alive. You got people that are still alive from World War One and Two. So these ideas, these institutions are right here. They're current. They're current.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have some little
people,
paid for Negro in there to tell you that that's not what's happening, because he's allowed to sit with them and sleep with them, and they play in his seat or play in her seat, you know, that's what keeps us separated. That's where the anger comes in. This is where the disorganization comes in. And now it is at a pace where it has permeated to the conscious community, to where the conscious and aware folks are now doing it to the people.
They are
now chasing the bag. When they are now grandizing and want an audience all for their own, because they have been the keepers of the information, so they know more than you, and you must give them a nickel or $3.99on OnlyFans or some little weird app. You understand?
Yes, sir.
It has permeated.
Absolutely.
And again, because the Vanguard has stopped shaking them down to their bootstraps, have stopped cutting them down at the knee, have stopped hitting them in the mouth. The Vanguard has to get back into the game. The Vanguard has to get back into the game and start doing some severe correcting. That is the only answer. And then our most cultural, our most spiritual people can then rise and organize and educate the people. But if the Vanguard is not putting in that necessary work, if the Vanguard is not securing that path, if that Vanguard is not taking away the prestige of our enemies, we're just going to keep slow grinding and slow grinding.
Oh, absolutely.
Again.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Absolutely.
That is what we have to do.
Yes, sir. And then also, too, General, I might add, you know, when I look at that racist, sick institution called Hollywood, California, and keep in mind, people, and for our listeners out there, is that Hollywood is a section of the city of Los Angeles, and it's not its own cities, because if you mess up in Hollywood, it will be the Los Angeles Police Department of the Hollywood Division who you will be dealing with. Now, when I look at these guys up here wearing these dresses, your Tyler Perry's, what have you, your Billy Porter's and what have you, they're stressing all this effeminization of the black male. Okay, case in point. I was in Oakland, California. I was, doing some work, and a gentleman who was showing me how to do the work is because, you know, I was out there on my first day. Then this homosexual comes up there talking about that he's a lady. And I says, look, man, check this out. Let me tell you something, and I want to be very, very clear about this. Hey, man, you could dress up the way you want to. Hell, go get fucked in your ass all you want to, excuse the expression, but you're not going to sit there and tell me that you are a woman with an Adam's apple and a 5 o'clock shadow, because this person cannot menstruate, he cannot ovulate, and he cannot bear children. It's a damn man. But hey,
exactly.
If your mind is that fucked up, man, hey, go on there with you. But where I draw the line is, man, is where you want me to sit up there and believe that bullshit. You see what I'm saying? It's
exactly. Well,
it
well
is
since
an
you
end.
Mentioned him, since you mentioned him,
yes,
not
sir.
To cut your wisdom, but since you mentioned Billy Porter, if people just do the homework to him, go back and look at his first video with his very first mainstream song. He sounds like a man.
Okay.
He sings like a man. He looks like a man. He's dressed as a man. His vocals were strong, but he did not.
Right.
And I repeat, did not become successful until he started taking on the characteristics of a woman. Now you
want
to nominate him for a Tony. Now you want to have him host the Oscars in a dress.
Right.
Now that he's wearing lipstick and eyelashes and conducting himself as a woman conducts herself, he is now able to claim that success. That's just how it is. Now you could dispute Hollywood all day, but the little boy, the little white boy Corey Haim, wrote a great book and told you that they filled with pedophiles. You see what I'm saying? And baby rapists and all that. They tell you every day, all day. It's evident. The truth is coming out. So now, Mr. Black, if that's your dreams and that's your aspirations to be up in Hollywood, I hope you got some lube with you. Go get the bag. But that bag is going to cost you your grippers. And you can go ahead and be happy all you want, but you won't influence my babies with your lack of political activity and your lack of knowledge yourself. You can just go ahead and go home. And it ain't about being nothing else but being truthful. I don't hate you, brother. Go do your thing. Just stay away from your mind when the bell and the whistle and the horns blow. Because we got some digging and fighting to do.
Oh, absolutely. And then not to mention there, too, General Kareem, as you're well aware, then when a lot of our women go out there to Hollywood, you know, they get passed around, man, up there in those mansions, man. They make those quote-unquote films, you know, about making a big audition, if you know what I mean. You see what I mean?
Absolutely. They let the porn industry get them at first. At first, they go through the porn producers.
That's what I'm talking about.
After the porn producers, then you get to the little D-list movies, and then you work your way up to the C-list. And by the time you are A-list and getting all them awards and stuff, you done had a good majority of Hollywood all up in you. They done tasted you, smelt you. You know what I'm saying? They done ate your little purse up, all that. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a game. This is truthful. You want to be a star, Rico, you're going to pay. You don't come with nothing but talent. So please, now, the talented people all over the world, you know, it's a talented individual born every second of the day. So why you? Why her? Or why him? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Show us what you got. Show us what you got. That's what it says. Show us what you got.
Exactly.
And it's
and see,
they do me in the same exact way.
Oh, yes, ma'am. You're absolutely correct about that. Yes, ma'am. You're absolutely correct about that. And then, I said, is because, see, I grew up in that cesspool called Los Angeles, California. It is a cesspool. And then, like a lot of our rappers who are very talented, they go out there the first time, man. They get influenced by them snow bunnies, man. They get influenced by that white powder. Then you see a whole lot of our brethren, man, you know, gone straight down the tubes and fall by the west side behind it. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to mention no names, but you all know who I'm talking about. You all have seen them. You all heard their stories.
No doubt.
Yes, sir.
No doubt. And
you see what I mean?
You know, they can do what they want to do. I got a job to do. Don't get in my way. And you will be fine. You can stay in your mansions. You can drive your cars. You can do whatever you want to do. Just stay away from me and mine. And in this time here, it's more evident than ever that those little toys and that little bag that they gave y'all ain't worth shit because you can't do nothing with it, right? The movie theaters are closed. The stadiums that you play football in is closed. The arenas you play ball in is closed. Y'all not getting no money. And the longer this thing stretches out, the longer these people playing this game and getting our people sick, the more powerless and worthless you are. You sold your soul to the devil for nothing, and you cannot come back because we don't need you. We don't want you. Stay there where you is at.
Yes, sir, and that is real talk. And then, too, when you try to sit up there and try to educate some of our people about this, then they want to come to you with a bunch of names, calling out NGR. You don't know what you're talking about. Oh, man, you know, they're making money. But all of us have played dominoes, and we know the classic line in dominoes, all money ain't good money. Case in point, let's see what they did to Bill Cosby. You see, look what they did to Bill Cosby. You know, he thought his black ass was going to go buy NBC. But look at Bill Cosby. The man is damn near blind, almost 85 years old, and they got him locked up there, incarcerated, man, as a registered dangerous pedophile. Now, my question is on all that, if he had allegedly had drugged these cave women and whatnot, why did they keep going back to his house? Then not to mention the fact, when you go up there off the 405 freeway in Los Angeles at the Sunset off-ramp, that's where they murdered his son, you know, about 25
yeah.
years ago. Another individual to look at is that damn fool by the name of O.J. Simpson. You know what I mean, man? And I never forget the day when he was riding in a white Bronco, him and Al Collins, doing 35 miles an hour down the freeway, and he's up there talking on the news to a radio station. Oh, I miss Nicole. Oh, I'm going to go blow my brains out. Oh, blah, 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 blah. But in the meantime, you turned your back on the black woman who with your sorry ass out of the gallows of Petrel Hill up there in San Francisco. You turn your back on her, you know what I mean? And then at the same token, too, is when you look at another individual that they had down there, Jim Brown in question. Okay, yeah, oh, big Jim Brown, yeah, number 32 of the Cleveland Browns. Look at all the cases that he picked up there on domestic violence, you know, up there in Los Angeles, you know, and then he comes out here, you know, oh, RBG and this with America, I can, and all this old type of business, but the man keeps going off, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets up there on
mm-hmm.
the news off of one case that he got, oh, am I worried about going to jail? Oh, hell no. So when his ass showed up there at the criminal court building down there, man, off of Broadway and Temple Streets down there at the L.A. County Courthouse, the judge says, well, you know, Mr. Brown, I saw your video that you did on the news yesterday, so check this out, Big Jim. Why not just go ahead and give you 6 months in a day? So, which means is that you're going to do 181 days there in the L.A. County jail system. You see what I mean? So we have to look at all that, looking at the mindset of self-destruction. You see what I mean? And then, too, in 1992, when they had the rebellion, when they were talking about organizing the factions, and then that racist hypocrite by the name of Daryl Gates. Oh, no, we can't have that. You know, they'll turn in to all one big gang. But then let's look at Christopher Dorner, the Navy SEAL who reported misconduct. And then they're going to sit there and smear his brother. And then he wrote his manifesto there on the Facebook, which is talking about, well, you know, since the gay days is that there, you know, they still the same thing, you know. And then also, too, General Kareem, we're going to turn it over there to you, brother, and share your thoughts, sir, you know, on what needs to be done, you know, for our community.
Well, listen, what we have to do is recognize one thing, that revolution moves in stages, right?
Yes, sir.
So here's a quote from our comrade George Jackson on after the revolution, right?
Yes, sir.
The after revolution has failed. All questions must center on how a new revolutionary consciousness can be mobilized around the new set of class antagonisms that have been created by the authoritarian reign of terror. At which level of social, political, and economic life should we begin our new attack? We have to acknowledge that we have failed, that we have took losses. Before we can gain any ground, we have to analyze the points at which we have failed. In order to do that, okay, we have to have honest assessments of what's going on now and what has gone on over the past generation, maybe 25 years. And now we must begin
mm-hmm.
our new attacks, socially, economically, and politically. First of all, what we have to do politically is not be engaged in that system whatsoever. We have to pull out of
mm-hmm.
that system that they call democracy or democratic process of voting. We cannot do that. We don't have representation in there. It is a game. Those people are nothing but a mass monarchy. The Bushes have been there forever. The Clintons have been there forever. The Kennedys have been in there forever. And it's all nothing but friends and family that are playing a game on the people. So in order for the people to truly exercise their power, they have to pull up out of that. Not yes, a sir. Black vote in this country. Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
That is first of all. You have to acknowledge that. That we don't have representation there at all. None of the words, none of the policies, none of the movements, none of the institutions there represent us at all. So in order to really gain ground, you have to pull up out of it. And don't fear it, because you don't know what's going on behind the curtain. They do not tell the black representatives anything that's going to give them any type of power. They're just sitting there holding space and getting a check. That's it. Because if they knew better, they would do better, and they don't. So that means either they're stupid and ignorant of the process, or they're lying to us. Either way, we don't need to participate. That's first of all. Economically, we have to take over an industry. I don't care what it is, but it has to be a tangible industry so we can hold it. Not businesses. I'm saying an industry, something that we own and we can do our trading with other nations. I don't care if it's carrots. I don't care if it's rubber. I don't care if it's gold. I don't care if it's diamonds. But we as a nation need to control an industry so we can do our bidding and we can have our own legal tenders. I don't care what it is. We have to pull out and stop using their money, their financial institutions, and their business contracts. That is what we have to do economically. You understand? And socially, we have to build a military. We have to have soldiers. We have to have a new behavior. We have to have new ethics and values to pull us through.
Exactly.
You
and everybody is not a soldier, too. That's
no, they're not.
Understand.
No, they're not. No, they're not. They can be farmers. They can be educators. They can be health practitioners. Everybody's not a soldier. But we need to build. We need that. Without a military, we are finished.
Right.
And we need to educate our own children, too. I think that's the number one thing that we can start while we get control of.
Right, and this is on the men, because the women have been doing their best, they have been doing their damnedest, they have supported us for the last 60 years. They've been the backbone. Without them, we would have been done. The men have been very lazy. And I don't mean all, but the majority have been lazy. They have not been there. They have not championed on. They have been sitting with these crackers making side deals. They have been doing everything and anything that prevented us from being liberated. So our men have to switch gears. They have to. It is on them. They must be charged, and our women must charge them. Stop holding them by the hand. Charge them. Look them in their face and ask them, what the hell are you doing for us and our babies? Stop going.
What did I say the other day, General Spock? Huh? I told y'all need to stand y'all ass up. I told them that the other day.
Yes, ma'am, you did. No, ma'am, you said it correctly there, Sister General. They have to stand up there and be men. And then also, too, is like I said, I want to quote the words of one of our elders, you know, the great Muhammad Ali, because he was more than just a heavyweight champion. You know, he has said the white man teaches us that God is in the sky and the devil is in the earth, and he owns everything in between, the grocery stores, the factories, and the hotels. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very imperative, you know, that our youth, you know, have this knowledge. You see what I'm saying? So I'm turning it back over to General Kareem, you know what I mean? And we got like 20 minutes left, and we're going to let the general go on there and lecture and drop knowledge and educate our people, because I'm learning quite a great deal right here.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. That's what's needed. We have to, as men, stop selling out our society. Black men are the ones who they let come to the table. Black men are the ones who they let into the police force, into the fire department, into the correctional facilities. Every aspect of this society, there is a black man there. And as long as he's sitting there not doing for us, he's doing for them. There's no in-between. If you're not building, you're decaying. If you're not doing something progressive, it's regressive. So as long as you're sitting there and you're not doing for us, you're doing for them. There's no neutral here. That's why they put you in that chair, in that position, because they know that you are not keen enough to be someone that's going to buck the system. To the black men who's there, who's sitting there in charge to pass off their laws and tell them what's going on. Tell your brothers in the hood what's going on, how they moving, where they moving to, what's going on, what does this mean, what does that mean. It is up to them to educate. Mr. Fireman, come down here and tell our people how to be first responders, how to treat wounds, how to treat burns. It is up to you, Mr. Black EMT. Tell them people how to fix bones. Telling people what they need to survive. It is up to you, Mr. Policeman, to tell them, stop going here. Stop doing that. They're looking for you over here. That camera's over here. This is the color of the day. If not, what are you there for? You said you wanted to be a black cop because you wanted to serve the black community, but you don't. Because you keep the secrets to yourself. It is black men who must be the ones. You have never seen a black man on trial for treason, country. Why? Because he loved master too much to tell a master secret, to go against the grain. And until that shit right there stops, we're going to keep running into circles and different mazes and different walls and different obstacles because the black men are sitting there complicit and allowing this shit to go on because they always go back to their little comfortable space, their little piece of a bed, their little piece of a home, and they can sit quietly while the rest of their brethren is starving and screaming. So it's up to the black man. You got to charge him. You got to ask him, what are you doing? I seen you on TV. They said you somebody. So how come your hood is a mess? Where do you come from? You said you come from Detroit and you on TV every day. You getting a $200,000 salary just for sitting there? How come Detroit is a mess? It is up to the people to start charging and stop giving these people passes because they wasn't getting passes in the 60s and the 70s. You couldn't come through there with a brand new car stunting and not feed your hood. You couldn't do it. Now they allowed them to do it. And they watch their kids humiliate each other because they don't have that sneaker. They don't have those shirts. There's constant humiliation in the hoods. Our kids are raised in that now, to talk down to each other. The little boys talk down on little girls. The little girls talk down on the younger little girls. And they shoot each other and kill each other because their examples are these people up here who do the same shit and tell you you ain't shit because you don't have 10 chicken spots. White man said, I got 10 chicken spots, I'm important, and you're not. This is what goes on. This is what goes on. But now in this pandemic, them chicken spots is closed. So you are not important no more, and he needs to get that ghetto pass revoked and hit in his mouth for his indiscretions against our people. This is what goes on. And until we get solid and firm in that, banging our heads, we got to stop doing that. It is time for a resurgence of the things that we know we're supposed to do. It's not rocket science. We are all literate. We are all educators and can be educated. We learn this language, this bastard-ass language. We know what it means. We can see it. And if not, we can define our world. We know what we want. If we don't want 5G, tear the shit down. If we don't want to be sick, we need to eat healthy. If we don't want these fools in our neighborhoods, goddamn it, close the store down that's selling it and chase the merchant up out of the hood and tell them, don't you bring your ass back down here unless you bring in some fresh produce.
Exactly. It's time for a reset.
We have to reset. and you have to educate the babies. They the ones with the energy. They the ones with the strong
right.
legs. They the ones that move fast and talk slick. They the ones.
They are warriors. They are warriors.
We
most
cannot disconnect from them. We
that's
have to
true.
Show them how to love to how to love themselves and love us. We have to do that. And that doesn't come forcefully. We got to meet them where they are. We got to dialogue with them. We got to show them the right way.
Yes, sir.
And that's
absolutely.
And I know it's a lot of our babies are hurting and need help and need healing. Like young men, different things. Like, do you work with young men?
Yes. I have no age range. I'm in the schools with the babies at the elementary school level, middle school level, high school level, in the street, all the way up to grown men. There's no age that I don't deal with.
We're trying to, you know, make sure the children are okay, you know, with changing from their everyday life, and we just easing into it, you know, having writing journals and different things like that to see where their mind is.
Yeah, they're hurting. We have a lot of mental health issues that we have to deal with when it comes to our children because they're scared. Their life is not certain. There's no security there. And that fear sets in, and that fear becomes anger. And that anger becomes rage. And at that point, once they start self-medicating with the violence and the drugs, now we're losing them. We got to catch them.
I want to interject something. I want to thank you, General Kareem, for those gems you've been dropping. This was a great show. But I wanted you to elaborate, if you could, as organizers, as so-called activists, revolutionaries, whatever you want to call it, what getting our people to understand that we need alternatives, we need solutions in regards to if we want our children up off the streets, we got to give them alternatives, else they're going to be in the streets. You know, do you have any type of suggestions on that in regards to, you know, bringing these gangs together, you know, getting these children, you know, you got to give them something. If they making their bank on the street, then if you ain't giving them nothing, an alternative to that, then what they going to do? They going to stay on the street because that's how they eating, that's how they feeding their family. Have you any
right.
thoughts on that?
Well, what I see, and this is only that view from my city, these kids are not really making no money on the street. They nickel and diamond, you understand?
Right.
So if you can replace that nickel and diamond with some constructive, then you have an easier route. This is what we were doing when we worked with the Cure Violence model. We showed them how to get a legal dollar, right? Most of them dropped out of school, so we got them back in school. You know, get your general education diploma. Start getting a resume. Sharpen your little self up so you could be presentable to get some type of employment. Now, we know jobs are scarce because there's people with master's degree that don't have no work. That's just how capitalism is. Once it starts shifting the paradigm, shifting the dynamics of employment, then everybody else is going to suffer. So now you got somebody with a bachelor's or master's degree in Starbucks pouring coffee. You understand? So if they got those jobs, then what is left for our youth? There's no more summer
right.
youth. There's no more trade schools. So what you have to do is show them how to get a nickel or dime by being ingenuity, using their ingenuity, and creating something. Our kids is masters at it. You see these little brothers
yes,
and sisters, they 16, 17, and they got their own web pages. They doing, you know, little things to earn them some keep, but it's not a majority, right? And that's what happens in a capitalist society. Everybody not going to get it. But if you can teach them how to sustain themselves, if you can show them that what they already have is enough for them to survive, then they're on the right path. You just have to
right.
make sure that they are worthy. Let them know that they are worthy. Let them know that your life is more precious. You have ultimate value in your life while you're on these streets, but don't waste it right? Don't waste it by allowing yourself to be cut down for some bullshit. Or, in fact, staying on a path that's going to lead you to incarceration. Most of them are not being taught. They don't know how much time this gun is going to give them. They don't know how much time this drug sale is going to give them. They're just out there doing it. Because
right.
the older ones that's out there manipulating the situation. So when you bring truth to the situation and you remain consistent, if you remain consistent with your message and with the love that you're showing them, you're going to win them. And you're not going to win all of them. Some people
right.
are just criminally insane. I mean, I'm telling you, I see it all day. Some people, because of the things that they live through in their life, are going to be those you won't reach. I'm talking about the ones that we can reach. You see what I'm saying? Because out of 10, you only got two that's really, really bad apples. You see what I'm saying? Out of 10 of
right.
our children, four or five of them are studious and in school, six of them. The other two may be wavering, and you got two that's going to be hardcore criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
of how it's set up. So you don't have
right.
to worry about them other four or five. You got to get the ones that's shaky. The other two, you may get one of them. You understand? And
right.
as long as we have enough to show them, first of all, we have our great time now. We got opportunity now. We're all in the house. Everybody's inside.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's scared of this virus or the 5G. So now we need to be telling them about Asada. We need to be showing them the videos. We need to be telling them about George and Huey. I got people, these little kids,
right.
that don't even know what happened at 9/11 because they wasn't born.
Right.
You understand what I'm
right.
saying? So you know they don't know nothing about Asada and Huey. Once you start opening them up to that, what happened? What's going on? Now they thirsty. They want more. They sponges.
Right.
Now
there's something that they can relate to.
Exactly.
They can relate to it. They can see themselves in Asada, in George Jackson, you know, in all of these others that came before.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You got to teach them. Give them the education process. Education, you know, that take a lot of hours. Once you start talking that talk and they get excited and you consistent with it, they'll come back every day, knocking on your door. Hey, you got anybody else to tell us about? That's how
right.
they move.
Yeah.
That's how they move, you know?
Yeah,
and now you can start telling them more and teaching them about what law really is and their position
right.
and why their mama strung out and why their daddy is locked up. You got to give them truth.
Right.
You can't just sit there and ignore them. And you got to hug them, right? But you got to be
yeah.
smart. Because some of them will kill you. And we
exactly.
learn that.
Yeah.
We learn that. Because we not
Yeah,
Malcolm.
That's real tough.
You're not going to come around me and I ain't going to pat you down. We learn from Malcolm. We learn from Khalid Muhammad. You understand?
Right.
Our people will kill you. So as a leadership, I know that. So my fangs
mm-hmm.
are always out. Always out. Believe me, I'll
yes,
take
sir.
A bite before you will. You understand?
Right.
And that's how we have to move. We have to learn from the past. You're not going to get up on me like that. You did, because they will
yes,
send
sir.
One at you.
Yeah.
Consistency is the key with our youth. Consistency. That's what they
yes,
move
sir.
In. They like they rappers. Because they consistent with the message and the tone. They like those little girls because they consistent in their behavior. They like certain people because
mm-hmm.
they're consistent. They know what they're going to get. And that's what marketing is. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
If that cereal tastes like that, every time them kids eat it, they're going to continue to eat that. They're going to love
right.
it. So if you consistent with them, you consistent with the love, if you consistent with the hugs, if you consistent with the sternness and the discipline, they're going to always come back. They're going to know that. The minute you don't be consistent with them, they think they got you. And then they're going to either move away and discredit you, or they're going to ignore you. Remain consistent
right.
with the babies, and you will have them.
Yeah.
Well, that's always been my mindset as well. you know, as older adults, I mean, we got the wisdom. We supposed to share it. You know, you ain't supposed to hold on to it. And you can't be out there acting like you ain't never did no dirt. You know, you can't be coming to them all righteous. Come to them real. Let them know, hey, I done made mistakes. You know, but I'm here to tell you how you can avoid making them same mistakes. And that's how we got to roll with that.
Listen,
you know, we got to find a way to.
You got to be. I deal with transparency.
Right.
Ain't nothing no white man could tell you about me that I ain't really told y'all, man. I told the kids everything. And that's what I am. You can't discredit me. You can't change my character to something that they won't like. Man, I've been behind the wall with them. I served in a service with them. Yeah, I ran the streets. Yes, I did throw my gun in a face. I don't care nothing about the system. I done did it. You won't discredit me. I am who I am. You won't dig up no bones. My baby's going to always know that I'm dealing with 1,000% universal truth when I come to them. Never made no deals with nobody. This is how we have to do. We have to tell our children that. We can't give them false hope. We can't tell them that this shit going to fall out of the sky. We can't give them a book and tell them they're going to be all right. We can't tell them to believe that this process is going to allow them to sneak through the cracks and they're going to be able to fulfill every dream they got. No. We deal with truth and transparency. This is going to be a long, hard road, but if we love on each other enough, if we protect each other, if we cut down anybody that come our way to give us some harm, we gonna make it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's for
real.
Yeah, that is for real.
And that's you know, that's how I look at that. You know, that school to prison pipeline, that prison back to the streets pipeline. We got to address that issue as we're gonna be dealing with the same problem over and over again.
Definitely.
We got a lot of areas to address.
Definitely.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And on that note, that's our aim. We don't want nobody in prison, right? We don't want none of our sisters abused, right? And we don't want to be lied to by anybody. We're too intelligent for that.
Exactly.
That's it. Those things stop. Our babies stop going to jail. Our women stop getting abused and disrespected. You understand? And we don't let nobody lie to us. And then we're on to a good start right there. You know? And I'll conclude with that.
Yes, sir. Okay, folks, we're in our last 2 minutes there. And General Kareem, we definitely appreciated having you on this production of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And feel free, General, you know, anytime, man, you want to come back with us, man, just let us know, man. We'll be more than happy to have you on, man. Because
thank
I've
you.
Learned
always my
quite.
Pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Thank
and
you.
I've learned quite
thank
a
you.
Bit right here. Yeah, and definitely appreciate, you know, our sister General Melly Queen, and definitely appreciate General Nate. So this
yes,
here concludes
sir.
Our episodes, ladies and gentlemen, with our special guest, General Kareem Johnson, on this air date of April 16th, 2010. As always.
Salute, General.
Salute,
yes,
salute,
sir.
Salute. All power to the people. We
salute.
Will win.
Salute, General.
Salute,
peace and
yes,
power.
Ma'am. Salute.
Peace and power. Peace and power. My love to my people. We going to win. Just stay committed. Stay strong.
Yes, sir.
Always.
Most definitely. Most
day.
Definitely.
Okay. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to put our outro out tonight. This song here was made in the year 1966 and is dedicated to the Minister of Defense, Dr. Huey Percy Newton, for patrolling the streets of Oakland, California, for ensuring our safety.